Sister Diane, Sister Mary, Brian is sick, Tyler's sick, Evan is sick, Mark Smith is sick. Those are the ones I know about. I'm sure there are others, so do remember these in prayer. The Lord would give them recovery. We want to continue our thoughts on the law. Last week we closed with the seriousness of God's laws are seen in, well, they're seen in a lot of ways, but one of the ways, of course, is the consequences that were experienced for disobedience to the laws of God. You know, people ask all the time, well, you know, I don't understand why people were stoned to death for talking back to their parents or many things, Sabbath breaking, adultery. Well, it's to teach us, it was to teach Israel, of course, the seriousness of the law. What we fail to realize today is that every sin deserves death. Every sin deserves death, whether it be a sin in the mind or whether it be a sin in act. Every sin deserves death. And the law, of course, brought this forth. False religion, the fallen into false religions, where people were stoned to death, people were hung for idolatry, and on it goes. But it just shows the seriousness of the laws of God. The laws of God have there's a great variety. There's hardly any aspect of life that you can think of in the Old Testament where there was not a law concerning that aspect of life. And again, that shows the importance of God's laws, but it the fact that God's laws were all-encompassing show us that in every aspect of our life, we are under the authority, we are under the government of God. And it does matter what we do in every aspect of our lives. People have a tendency, some people have a tendency to put their religion, for lack of a better word, their Christianity in a box. And there's areas that their Christianity doesn't apply. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every area of our life, we are to manifest Christ, and we are under God's authority. So just think for a little while, and we'll give a few examples of the variety of God's laws. There were laws concerning every single aspect of worship, which shows that it does matter to God how we worship. People tend to take the attitude, well, God knows my heart. Well, yes, He does, and that's usually not too encouraging. There's really not a whole lot that's encouraging. When you really think about that, there's really not a whole lot that's encouraging. You may just have one area of your heart in mind, but God does know your heart, and certainly our heart is very much involved in worship. But there are all kinds of laws concerning worship. There were all kinds of laws concerning family life. There's really not an aspect of family life that you can think of that was not covered under the law. There were laws concerning marriage. Again, the best thing to do is read the book of Deuteronomy, because these laws are just, there's like 2,500 of them just repeated over and over and over again, law after law. There were laws concerning marriage, laws concerning who you should marry, laws concerning who you should not marry, and laws for how husbands were to treat wives and vice versa. There were laws concerning divorce in the Old Testament. There were laws concerning parenting. There were laws concerning children. There were laws concerning relationships between husbands and wives. And on it goes. So again, we are reminded that God's authority, God's government, enters into the home and covers every aspect of family life. It's not just for times like this when we assemble together. It's for every aspect of life. There were laws regarding labor, many laws regarding labor. There were laws for employers. There were laws concerning employees. Notice in Deuteronomy, we'll give a few examples. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. This, of course, is going to the employer. There's laws concerning employees as well. But thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy. Okay, this servant has a specific need. He's poor. Whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers. So there's doesn't matter. That are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor. That is, for this poor guy, perhaps the other man, maybe you pay him every 3 days, maybe you pay him weekly. But there, this man, you're not to let the sun go down without paying him, because he's poor, because he has a daily need. He's living day by day. So there was a law. There was a law there. So, and again, this... Then you go on, and there's the father shall be put to death for the shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Laws concerning everything, and then there's laws concerning employees. So God's authority includes our work life, whether we be an employer, whether we be an employee. It doesn't matter. We're under the laws, under the authority, under the government of God. There were laws regarding money. Many laws regarding finances. And again, God is to control our finances. We're under the government and authority of God. It's never our money. It's always His. And that, again, people like to take the attitude that the 10% is God's. It's all God's. It's all God's. God just simply asked you to give Him 10% and then plus an offering. But it's all God's. The part we keep, it's all God's. There were laws regarding property. Uncontrolled oxen. Property in trust. Inheritances. Landmarks. We're told that the landmark was not to be removed. It was a criminal act to just go out and dig up a landmark. You can't do that. It's against the laws of God. And so we see property. There were even laws concerning fruit-bearing trees in time of war. They were not to destroy a fruit-bearing tree so that they themselves could enjoy the fruit of that tree, but also that the enemy could enjoy the fruit of that tree. There were laws regarding the building of houses. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 8. Years ago, I preached on this verse a lot, but in Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, when thou buildest a new house, thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, or a railing for the roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. That was a law. You got people up there working on the roof. God says you make sure you put a railing around that roof so that you're not guilty of someone falling off of that roof and bringing blood upon you. You don't have an ambulance sitting below. You put a banister. So even in building, there were laws of God. There were laws regarding gardening. Deuteronomy 22, verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds. lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. You need to be careful, and I've brought this up before, because you're setting yourself up for mockery. To just pick a verse or two out of Deuteronomy 22 and build a doctrine on it. Because you better read the rest of the chapter. Because if you're going to just pull one verse out and build a doctrine, then you be consistent and don't sow two seeds together when you plant your garden. And be consistent when you wear clothing, you don't wear two different fabrics. I mean, people set themselves up for mockery when they build the doctrine, just pulling something out. And you don't, I'm referring to Deuteronomy 22:5. And what Deuteronomy 22:5 says is absolutely true. But please, don't just base it on Deuteronomy 22:5. If that's your proof text, you have nothing. If that's all you have nothing. Because you're inconsistent with everything else in that chapter. Now, men and women should not dress the same. And I don't believe women should wear pants. But, and you can use Deuteronomy 22:5, but please don't make that your only verse. You make everybody else look foolish. Was that all you got? I mean, that would be the first thing I would say. If someone came to me and built their whole argument on Deuteronomy 22:5, I would say, can I see your garden? I'd like to come over to your house and see your garden. And so, again, we're not saying that Deuteronomy 22:5 isn't true. It is. But you can find other verses to prove the same thing. The priest's garments in the Old Testament is a good example. Modesty. I'm getting off track here. But again, there were laws regarding gardening. There were laws regarding clothing. Deuteronomy 22:5, Deuteronomy 22:11. There were laws regarding restitution. If you borrowed something from somebody and you damaged it while you were using it, there's laws regarding restitution of all different kinds. There were laws regarding business. There was to be no interest on loans to God's people. No interest. That was against the law. There was to be no bribes. There was certainly to be no oppression. That is, you did not give someone money and then oppress them and use that to control them. There's laws against that in the Old Testament. There were laws regarding animals. The treatment of animals were laws. There were laws regarding our neighbors, how we ought to treat our neighbors. There were laws regarding war. God had laws concerning war. Again, you can begin reading in about Deuteronomy 19 through about Deuteronomy 27, 28, and it's just law after law after law. Because that's what Deuteronomy is. It is a repeat of the law. Moses is reminding them as they get preparing to go into Canaan that the law, they were still under God's government, still under God's authority. There were laws regarding justice. They were to be just. There were laws regarding health. There were dietary laws. Again, the dietary laws, the laws concerning thou shalt not plant divers seeds, thou shalt not plow an ox and an ass together. All of these were teaching spiritual lessons that concerning separation. But they were also reminders that no matter what you do, you're under the government of God. There were laws concerning clean and unclean. They're in Leviticus chapter 11. So, there were laws concerning honesty, that is, in dealing with one another. They were not to use divers weights. They were not to cheat anybody. They were not to take advantage of anybody. New Testament, of course, teaches the same thing. You don't take advantage of someone's ignorance. You don't take advantage of anything about them. You do not take advantage of them. So in all of these things, we are being reminded of God's authority. God has authority in everything. We are being reminded of God's government. We are under the government of God in everything. But when God gave these laws to Israel, He was telling Israel, because I have redeemed you and because I am God, I have claim upon you. Not just in some areas of your life. I have claim upon every day, every second, every aspect of your life. I, God, have claim upon you. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded, no matter what we do, you go on vacation, you're still under the authority of God. It doesn't give you the liberty to just do as you please. You're under the authority of God. No matter what you do, we're under the authority of God. So it should always be in our minds, no matter what we're doing, whether it be work, school, whether we be out in the garden, when we put our clothes on in the morning, what would God have me to do? Does this please God? And again, that covers every aspect of our life. So it shows us the seriousness of God's laws. It shows us that we're to always be mindful of God's laws, that we're to always acknowledge God. We're to always acknowledge His way. And it's also a reminder that God has something to say about everything. He really does. He has something to say about everything. He may not say cover some specific area in your life, but there are biblical principles that do cover every specific thing in your life. So in everything, it matters. It matters. So we need to always keep that in mind. Man is not to pick and choose what he will obey. We are always under the God's government, God's authority. And we need to remember that as we lead into the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments apply for every aspect of our life. They always apply. They're always in force. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We do pray, Lord, for those that are sick today, that you would be with them in a very special way, Lord, that you would raise them up, that you would heal their bodies. Cause them, Lord, to feel your presence, and we just pray that you'd be with each one. We pray, Lord, for those that are traveling today, that you would be with them as well, that you would cause them to feel your presence and give them traveling mercies, give them good times with their families. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship you today, that you would cause us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, that your name would be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.